And might note that Jim's two sons were going to share the same thing in their own version of the same event this morning, right, in their two churches. So that's pretty neat. Father and the two sons sharing that. And a reminder, too, of, so many women that should have given their children up for adoption or their child and didn't, and then have to live with that choice, and they need our prayer, and many regrets and many heartaches from so many. So let's not forget them, what they have to deal with, and they need the Lord. They need the Lord to help them. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, where we're going to look once again at this theme of preparing for the battle. Put on the whole armor of God, right? Be strong in the Lord. That is our theme for this year, that our need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as we read in Ephesians 6, verse 10. And we need to prepare for the battle. So, Ephesians 6, let's begin at verse 12. Follow along as I begin reading verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prepare for the battle. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the wonderful memory that Jim shared with us. And we thank you now for your word that we are about to consider. Speak to our hearts. Have your way. I pray for any here this morning who doesn't know Christ as Savior or is not sure that their sins are forgiven and that they have a home in heaven. I pray this might be the day that they give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ by calling on Him to save them from sin. Help us, Lord. It may be that we have wandered away from you, that our hearts are cold and indifferent, and we're not honoring you as you would have us to do. Challenge us, Lord. Draw us to yourself. Cleanse us of our sin, Lord, and renew that right spirit within us. And may we again know, as David came to know again, the joy of our salvation. Have your way now. Help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a spiritual battle. Like it or not, we are in it. And we are either winning or we are losing. We are not just floating. We are on God's side or we are playing right into the hands of the devil. We need admonishing, don't we? We need exhorting. We grow careless about ourselves, about our families, about lost souls around us. We need to be made strong. That's the way that is worded, that to be made strong by the Lord in the Lord. We need the admonition for the battle. That was point number one, the admonition for the battle. Be strong. Just be strong in the Lord. And secondly, we need to know our adversary. Our adversary. We need to know what it is not. It is not against flesh and blood. Our war is not against human beings. Our war is not against the political system. You look around, listen to the news today, that's where the war is going on. Well, the war is far, far greater than that. Ultimately, the battle is not with flesh and blood, but with fallen spirits. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, our battle is not in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, overthrowing reasonings and speculations. In other words, there's far more to doing battle than just depending on human reasoning, trying to figure out what to do. Rather, our battle is spiritual. We are exposed to evil spirits that hate God and would love to destroy every believer, every follower of God. So our battle is not with human beings, it's rather with the principalities of fallen angels led under the banner of the devil himself. So what it is not, it's not with flesh and blood. What it is, it's a spiritual battle. And our only protection then is a spiritual armor. We are living in a day of vastly increased knowledge of the universe. And that is wonderful as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far to really helping us to honor God, does it? In fact, it has dulled our awareness. We think we're wiser than the apostles and the Lord himself. We think we're solving problems of the universe by bringing the universe under control, as if we can even control our climate today. You would think. I don't think so. This is one of Satan's devices, Satan's wiles, one of his schemes. He wants us to think the battle is material, is with nations, is with economics, is political, but that's not where the battle is. Satan would want us to depend upon our success as though we've almost arrived, and if we just do the right thing and follow the leader, we will make America great again, right? Well, we can make America great again, whatever that is, but does that help us in our journey to heaven, our journey to pleasing God? I don't think so. Our enemy is unseen, invisible, and we are in a most difficult fight. We're warring against principalities, that is, the chief rulers of the spiritual world, evil spirits, fallen angels who are in ranks and orders under the control of one mighty leader, Satan himself. It's against powers, or against those evil spirits who have power, against the world rulers or the world forces of this darkness. There are world rulers who rule over regions of sin and darkness with which the earth abounds and is teeming with these spiritual world rulers of darkness who have Satan as their head, the god of this world, who has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We look around us and we wonder, how can people think the way they think? Satan. That's how. Satan has blinded their minds. 1 John 5:19 says that the whole world lies in the wicked one. And so it is no wonder we see people blindly groping about in the darkness trying to find their way. It's spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies where Christ lives. So that's where our battle is, in the heavenlies. Our possessions are there, and the powers of evil would try to steal our possessions, and they would do so easily if they could. But I'm thankful they are guarded and protected by our Lord himself. Anyway, we need to prepare for the battle because we are in it. We are in it. So we see the admonition for the battle, the adversary of the battle, and then we come to the armor of the battle, beginning at verse 13. Our battle is with spiritual wickedness, and the armor that we need to do battle comes from God himself. And if it comes from God, it's got to be good. But we'd better put it on, right? We'd better adorn each element of this spiritual armor. So verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Wow. You mean I can do that? You better believe it. The Bible says, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. One little word will slay him. Resist him, and he will flee. He can have no power over us except God would allow it. And so take the whole armor of God, and then we can withstand and stand against him. Now, this armor is different from his righteousness. We stand before God in Christ, okay? We have his righteousness, and our standing in Christ is that of total, complete, perfect righteousness. We are sanctified in him. That's our position as God sees Christ in us. And so we don't put that righteousness on ourselves. God has clothed us. But we need to put the panoply of God that he provides on. We need to prepare for the battle. We need to put each separate piece of armor to withstand the devil. We have the hymn says, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. And put each piece on with prayer. Prayerfully put it on. And so we put on each separate piece of armor to withstand the host of hell. And take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. So put on the whole armor. Romans 13:14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, as he is revealed in his written word. And we put it on and we face the enemy. We don't turn our backs and run from the enemy. There's no armor on our backside, right? It's all on the front because we're going to go after the enemy. We're going to face him, confront him. We face the foe. There's no retreat. If we retreat, we're exposed to the fiery darts of the wicked one. But we face him in the power and the work of the cross, and we can stand. And so stand, therefore, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day. When is that? That's today. That's tomorrow. That's every day. Every day is the evil day. Every day, but increasing as we approach the day of the Lord. You see, the day of trouble, the evil day comes, and we're not ready. Are you ready for that evil day? Are you ready in the day of temptation that comes upon you? All of a sudden, there it is, and you're not ready. You haven't prepared. The day of loss, the day of discouragement, the day of trouble. Are you ready? And having done all to stand, stand. Stand in the perfection of Christ's work. And the foe can't harm us there. He's already been defeated at the cross. Satan has been made powerless by the work of the cross. And we claim the victory. We resist him only in the power of the cross. I can't do it on my own. I'm done if I try to go against the devil on my own. If I try to live for the Lord without the power of the Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. We stand firm. We stand with courage, but we stand. We stand rather than run. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. The idea of cinching up the belt. We always get a kick out of looking at old videos of our kids. And our youngest son, Danny, he was so funny. When he was a little kid, he just loved cinching up his belt. And I got video of him spending about 5 minutes tucking his shirt in and cinching up his belt, getting it tighter and tighter and tighter till everything is just tight and he's ready to go. That's the idea of your loins girt about, tighten it up, cinch it up, get ready to go. Make sure it's all ready. It's the idea of a sash, of having a sash and tying your sash. Back in those days, they would wear loose flowing robes, and they had to gird them up if they were going to be traveling or running. You take the robe and bring it up between your legs and tuck it in the sash, in the belt, so you could run without tripping all over the robe. That's the idea. Bracing up, support, keeping all the parts of the armor in place. And so it is with the truth. Living truthfully, living honestly, being committed. It's the idea of a commitment to the truth and living a life that pleases God, living an honest life according to truth. So gird up the loins of your mind, 1 Peter 1:13 admonishes us. Gird up, sash up, tighten up the loins of your thinking so that we're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. We're not gullible. We don't fall for anything, but rather we serve Him who is everything. Our minds being controlled by God's Word, the truth. We need to get back to the Bible. Are you in the Word? Are you being girded up by studying and reading and meditating and even praying over God's Word to us? And only as our minds are controlled by the Word can we meet and do battle with the wiles, the schemes, the craftiness of the devil. And the devil knows how to attack us, doesn't he? And the better you know your Bible, the better equipped you are to meet the assaults of the enemy. And yet some never read the Bible. Or if they do, they read it piecemeal. They don't read it through book by book. We ought to be reading the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, sometimes taking a book of the Bible and reading it through several times till we get familiar with it. We know what's in it. I'm afraid we spend more time on Facebook than in our Bibles. You say, well, of course. We do, don't we? Well, yeah, I know, of course. Well, sure, God understands. I mean, I need to see what's going on out there. I need to see what my friend had for breakfast and how sick she's feeling today and that she's going to take a bath tonight. And then I hear about how her bath went later on, you know. And I need to hear about how my friend's not getting along with his wife, you know, and because she treats him so badly. And I just need to know these things. Yeah, we spend more time on Facebook than in prayer, more time texting than in prayer, more time on the phone than in prayer, more time in secular books than God's book. And I understand those things do take time. And we should be reading good books and maybe a little less texting and Facebooking and Twittering and tweeting. And maybe somebody ought to let our president know. Maybe a little less tweeting. I don't know. I'll leave that alone. Remember, the Bible is the only book that will last for eternity. His Word will never pass away. It's forever. And anything we get out of it we'll have for all ages to come. It's laying up treasure in heaven, time spent in the Word of God. So we begin the battle with belief in the truth. We enter into the conflict. If we enter into the conflict ignorant or doubting, that's like going into a battle blind or lame. We can't do it. And then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, we've been given the righteousness of God. This is talking about the righteousness of God in Christ. Turn to your right a little bit to Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Philippians 3, verse 8. But doubtless, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, refuse, trash, garbage, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. I can't get to heaven by doing good. I don't have enough righteousness in me. Oh, my sins are like filthy rags, right? My righteousness are like filthy rags. I cannot live up to the holiness required of God. And so He infuses to me the righteousness of Christ. I've been given the righteousness through faith in Christ. So I don't put that on. God does. But we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness, that practical outworking of righteousness. Right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is working in you. Now work it out. Flesh it out. Okay, live out the righteousness of God in the flesh, in what I do, where I go, what I see, what I hear, and so on. Practical righteousness, the breastplate, the coat of mail, when they went from the neck down to the thighs, maybe made of metal rings. Sometimes it was a coat made of linen with metal rings sewed into it, or in the form of scales, metal scales, or just a molded metal that went around the chest and the part that protected all the vital organs. It was flexible, usually, and yet would guard from a sword or an arrow, and it defended the vital parts of the body. And so here, it's talking about integrity of life, righteousness and character, purity of life, having a good conscience, all necessary to defend from the assaults of Satan, from the flaming arrows of Satan. And a lack of righteousness will expose us to his attacks and his temptations, to where we will not be able to withstand, to where we have no testimony before the lost world around us in practicing righteousness. People look at you and me and they say, you know, it doesn't seem that his religion has really done that much for him. I don't know why I would want to go that direction. Our life needs to be clean, where there's no hidden sin, no unholy thinking, but only that which pleases the Lord. The king of Israel, Ahab, was struck by an arrow set from a bow drawn at a venture, and it hit him between the joints of his harness or the breastplate of his harness in 1 Kings 22:34, and he died because there was that arrow found a weakness in his armor. And so if there's a defect in our armor, if there's an unguarded point, that will be the point of attack. And it only takes one weakness, one place, one single point, and many have thus fallen. The hymn goes on to say, leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. Apply ourselves to the Word of God. Take everything and live, give our all, give our everything to the Lord. And then verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The feet, what they wore might have been spike sandals. Usually they were with greaves that covered the shin, protected the shin all the way from the knee down to the foot. One version translates it, let the shoes on your feet be the gospel of peace to give you firm footing. I like that. The firm footing is the gospel of peace. Dependence on the gospel that gives peace in the heart and life so as to stand firm. And in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the battle, we can have peace. We have an inner peace, though war is raging around us. And it also has the idea of taking the good news, even in the battle. We should take the gospel of peace that brings peace of heart to those who trust Christ. We need to be swift to carry the gospel to those who need to hear. And then verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This covers the rest of the armor. You've got to have, a soldier has to have that shield. He wouldn't think of going out in the battle without the shield, without confidence in God, meeting the enemy with a trust in the living God, not in self. That might be the idea of the shield of faith. And that shield would protect every part. You can turn it in every direction. He might lose all the rest of his armor, but he's still got a shield to defend himself from attacks. And faith here is in an important place. It protects everything else. As long as a soldier had this, he felt safe. And so with us, as long as we have faith. Faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, right? We can go into battle believing in the Lord, trusting in him, relying on him, having faith in him. But when my faith falters, I'm in trouble. Everything else seems to fall apart, doesn't it? I've got to have my faith. I've got to have my shield. And the fiery darts of the wicked one will come at me. The fiery arrows, the flaming missiles. And that shield would protect the soldier. It was usually covered with leather, sometimes rubbed with oil. And when the flaming arrow and the arrows were shot with tar on the end of them and were lit up many times, and the shield would quench that flaming arrow. And so we've got to have that shield of faith. Temptations come. The temptations of the great adversary are like fiery darts. Suggestions of evil which he throws in our mind are like flaming arrows. Unbelief and doubt and discouragement, pride and envy, and a critical spirit and a bitter spirit all come at us. They come suddenly like arrows, unexpectedly, like where did that come from? Sometimes an evil thought goes across our mind and we're almost shocked, like, I can't believe I thought that thought. Where did that come from? Well, don't underestimate Satan. And they'll pierce the soul with fire, and only the shield of faith can meet them. By faith, Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down flat, didn't they? By faith, we read in Hebrews 30, the great chapter of faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were surrounded about 7 days. Our battle, like the battle at Jericho, your battle is won and only won by faith, by trust. And then verse 17, the helmet. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The helmet, a cap of thick leather or brass, maybe crowned with a beautiful plume as an ornament. And that helmet would guard from the blows of the sword or the arrows to the head or the sledgehammer to the head. And will defend the soul will defend the soldier. And so our hope of salvation will defend our soul from the attacks of the enemy. You see, a soldier would not fight well without hope of a victory. No dread sustained by this assurance. No doubt that he would be victorious, and so us. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The armor wouldn't be complete without a sword. What's a soldier without a sword, or a soldier without a gun? Got to have it, right, if you're going to go into battle. Now, the sword, which is the Word of God, this isn't talking about the Bible as a whole. It isn't the word logos or logos that's used here. There are thousands of swords here, and each one sharp, and each is two-edged. There are two terms for the word, word, and that is logos, which is a normal word used, but also the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And the word rhema means a word or a saying. Take a saying of God, we might think of it, a saying. So the sword is the saying, the rhema of God. So if the devil comes and you and I throw the Bible at him, he's just going to laugh at us. He already knows what's in that Bible. You can't just throw the Bible at him or hold the Bible up and say, get thee hence, Satan, right? No, you and I will go down ourselves. But if you say to Satan, here is what God says, here is what God says, then we've got a sword, don't we? Then we have a definite saying, and we can defeat the enemy. Of course, Christ is our supreme example of that. When he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And what did Jesus say? It is written. He didn't say, Satan, the Bible says, I'm going to be victorious. No, he said, Satan, it is written, and he quoted the Word of God. He quoted from Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone. In every temptation, he quoted the Word of God. He took the sword out of the armory. Well, if my Savior needed to do that, how much more me? And so I need to be familiar with Scripture. I need to memorize verses. I need to get a handle on some things that'll help me. When I'm worrying, I should memorize some verses about God's command to not worry, be anxious for nothing, fear not, and so on, all the many, many verses. We need to know our Bible so we can meet the devil when he comes with suggestions to sin. We'll have the Word, we'll have a word, a verse of Scripture to give to him. See, Satan can resist reason and philosophy, but not one word of God. As the Martin Luther's great hymn says, one little word will slay him. In A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. One little word will slay him. And so how true that is. And then, so we see admonition in the battle, our adversary, our armor, and then our attitude in the battle. Verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Pray, pray, pray. Praying always, all prayer, you know, and just all. Our attitude is one of prayer. We ought to always be in a state of prayer. We are independent of the devil because we are dependent upon God, and prayer is the source of our dependence. We show our dependence, our reliance, our trust through prayer. Prayer is all about developing a relationship with him, honoring him, living for him. Put each piece on with prayer. The line of communications has got to be open to CENTCOM, to the central command, right, to the headquarters. We've got to always have the radio on, and so we can speak to God through prayer. Our armor then is truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word, and prayer. And these all find their basis in Scripture. And for us to neglect the reading and the study and the living out of the Word of God is to go naked, is to go exposed against the enemy, and we can't do that. We can't do that. We need to rise up. We need to get in the battle because we're in the battle and prepare for the battle. Are you prepared? Are you ready to do battle? Every day. Every day is a battle, right? Every time that alarm goes off, every time you get out of bed, every time you go through the day, every time you go to work, whatever we do, there's resistance. There's a battle against wickedness. And may God give us victory as we do battle. Let's bow before the Lord as we close this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the admonition to get in the battle and to depend upon you, Lord. And I pray we would learn to put on the armor of God. We know you're serious about this. You would never have wasted any space in the Word of God if this were not for us to follow and to obey. So help us, Lord. Help us to take seriously these admonitions and to put on these pieces of armor as you enable us, Lord, as you have so abundantly and wonderfully provided for us. Thank you, we can have victory, and the victory is ours. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, we go through down times, we go through the valley, we get kind of sluggish sometimes, but we know you're there to lift us up and to bring us into that place of joy and peace, into a firm land, plant our feet firmly on the place of your blessing. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'll bless now as we come to a close. Speak to our hearts now. May we commit our way to you. In Jesus' name, amen.